Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this morning I am coming to you from all the way back at Camp Agape and bring you warm greetings from some of the most beautiful 600 acres of land that I think exists out there. And I want to tell you that the campers and I had a wonderful week. I wasn't ready for it to be over. Camp always goes by so quickly. But we are looking forward to the opportunity to share our adventures and learnings with you next week. One of the things that the confirmands did last week was every day we learned about one of the baptismal promises they will be making for themselves when they are confirmed this October, right? These promises were made by their parents in their baptism, but now as they're growing older and have the capacity to think and learn for themselves, they will take on these promises as their own in just a few months. And they are to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. These are the promises that we've all made in confirmation, and every year at Easter when we affirm our baptism, we renew these promises. And so for our middle schoolers, each day we got to think about these promises and explore what they mean and how we might live them out in our everyday life. Well, interestingly enough, we see in the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Galatia that those followers of Jesus are also trying to figure out what it means to live as baptized Christians in the world, and what it means to be a follower of Jesus in their time and in their context. In the verses Debbie read just a few minutes ago from Galatians 5, Paul is talking a lot about freedom. Freedom, it's a word that we as Americans love, and we're getting ready to hear a lot of it over the next couple of weeks as the 4th of July approaches. Freedom is something that we are grateful for, right? Our nation's freedoms allow us to worship and teach God's word without fear of governmental interference. Our nation's freedoms allow us to choose careers and leisure activities. But brothers and sisters, there is a freedom far greater and more important than the freedom we might have in any given system of government. There is a freedom that surpasses the freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And that is the freedom given to us in Christ. I know it's a little bit confusing since there's only one English word for these two different types of freedoms. But even though it's the same English word, they're not the same kind of freedom. So I'm going to differentiate them by saying American freedoms and the freedom we have in Christ. And so the Apostle Paul's words we read today are a good and necessary reminder of the difference between the two and what the freedom we have in Christ means for how we live our lives. Through Christ, we have been set free to serve one another in love. In Christ, we are set free from sin to love others. We aren't set free from sin to do whatever we want. We aren't set free from sin to meet our own selfish desires. Our freedom in Christ comes with a calling. We are to set we are set free to love others and to think of others as better than ourselves, to put the needs of others above our own desires, and to love others as ourselves. As Lutheran Christians, we believe that salvation is a free gift from God. God doesn't need us or require us to do anything to earn our salvation. We are saved by grace through faith. However, once we receive salvation, which we believe happens in baptism, we are called to live a life loving our neighbors. This call is not optional. It's not a recommendation. And in fact, we have made promises on how to live out this call. We just read them above, right? And it includes proclaiming the good news of God through word and deed, serving all people following the example of Jesus, and striving for justice and peace in all the earth. This is the call that we have. We are set free in Christ from the power of sin to live out love in our lives for others. Also, as part of this call, we don't get to pick and choose who our neighbors are. Our neighbors are all people. All people, no exceptions. And so, brothers and sisters, there are no ifs, ands, or buts about this freedom in Christ. We are set free to love our neighbors and to serve them in love. Paul firmly tells the Galatians that they are not to use their freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. And I want to make a little caveat clear here. When Paul says flesh, the English word flesh might mean we think about our bodies, our physical bodies. But what Paul is talking about here is the whole self under the power of sin, with its self-serving desires and motives. The truth is, God created our bodies, God loves our bodies, and God calls our bodies good. So Paul isn't saying here that our bodies are bad or evil. What he is saying is that when we, our whole selves, are under the power of sin, we become incredibly selfish. One of the ways that Luther often talked about sin was being curved in on oneself. And so I want you all to curve in on yourselves. What do you see when you are curved in on yourself? You only see yourself, right? When you're curved in on yourself, you cannot see others. You can't see the needs of others. And that's what the freedom of Christ is. It's the exact opposite of being curved in on ourselves. Because the freedom of Christ is to not be self-serving. The freedom we have in Christ is lifting up our chins so that we can see others, so that we can see the needs of others, and so that we can put the needs of others ahead of our own needs. Because the freedom we have in Christ sets us free from the sins of selfishness, sets us free from the sins of self-centeredness. The freedom we have in Christ sets us free from the need and desire to seek out or demand what is best for us before we do what is best for another. That is the freedom and the power that we have in Christ. So I thought we could look at a couple of examples, maybe in the small catechism. So if we look at the fifth commandment, the fifth commandment says, "You shall not murder." Okay, I'm pretty sure none of us in here are going to murder, so can we put a check by that one? Well, let's listen to what Luther says about this commandment in his small catechism. We are to fear and love God so that we neither endanger nor harm the lives of our neighbors, but instead help and support them in all of life's needs. Right? That's what the fifth commandment means for us, right? What it means for us to not murder isn't just that we don't kill someone, but that we help and support them in all of life's needs. And so, brothers and sisters, the freedom of Christ that we have in Christ is that we are set free from the sin of selfishness and self-centeredness so that we can love and serve our neighbors, neither by endangering or harming them, but instead by helping them and supporting them in all of life's needs. How about the eighth commandment? You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. What does this mean, Luther asks? We are to fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbors, betray or slander them, or destroy their reputations. Instead, we are to come to their defense, speak well of them, and interpret everything they do in the best possible life, in the best possible light. And so through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are set free from the sin of selfishness and self-centeredness, so that not only do we not tell lies about our neighbors, so that not only do we not betray and slander them, we are set free so that we can love them by coming to their defense and speaking well of them and interpreting everything they do in the best light. Brothers and sisters, in the waters of baptism, we are set free from sin. We are set free from that sin of selfishness and self-centeredness. And in being set free, we are given the freedom of Christ to no longer satisfy our selfish desires and our self-centered motives. We have been set free in Christ so that we are no longer curved in on ourselves. Jesus lifts up our chin so that we see all of our neighbors as beloved children of God. And Jesus lifts up our chin and sets us free from the power of sin so that we can love our neighbors and serve them in love. Now, it's easy to be tempted to confuse the freedom we have in Christ and the freedom that we have as Americans, because, like I said, it is the same English word, but their definitions are often found on opposite ends of the spectrum, right? Because hear this again about the freedom we have in Christ. These are Paul's words. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. When you come forward this morning for communion, pause at the font. Dip your fingers in that water. Make the sign of the cross on your forehead to remember your baptism. And let your sin and the sin of selfishness and self-centered motives be drowned in this water, in the waters of God's love, so that rising out of the waters and rising yet again to new life in Christ, we can lift up our chins and live into the true freedom that we have in Christ. We are free to love as God loves. Amen.